thank you for tuning in to the Postmodern Realities Podcast, brought to you by the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. I'm Melanie Cogdill, Managing Editor of the Christian Research Journal. It's June 2021, and you're listening to episode 241, which is a conversation about season one of the Apple TV series Ted Lasso. Today's guest is KB Hoyle, who is a former classical educator, a columnist for the online website Christ and Pop Culture, and an award-winning novelist. KB has written a print article in our Postmodern Realities column in our 2021 volume 44, number one issue of the Christian Research Journal, and her article is called Wayward Ted, Celebrating the Fruits of the Spirit in Ted Lasso. If you're not already a subscriber to our print magazine, you can read her article when you subscribe to the journal at equip.org. KB, it's good to have you on.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, as I mentioned, KB has written an article in our print magazine about the Apple TV series Ted Lasso, which was really interesting. I knew it was about sports, but I didn't totally know what it was fully about. And he is an American football coach who goes to coach a pro English in the UK soccer team, and he doesn't know very much about professional soccer. And so actually the series was created by this SNL alum, Jason Sudeikis, who also stars in it. I didn't even realize this till after I watched the whole series, and that it's an actual character that was used years and years ago by NBC Sports for these promos. So they kind of spun that off into an actual TV series. But what made you interested in particular in watching Ted Lasso? Because I know I'm not a sports person, so I basically watched this TV series to prepare for this interview, and I loved it.
Yeah. This was one of those shows that I would never have normally been interested in. In fact, I'm pretty sure my husband, who does watch Premier League football, as they call it over, you know, across the pond football, he's a big fan actually of Premier League football, and like follows teams, has shirts and things of that sort. He got into this show when it first premiered and tried to get me to watch a couple episodes. And I was just like, it's about what? No. Okay. You know, whatever. And never even sat down to give it a try. But it was one of those shows that so many people started to talk about it. There was so much chatter, and it truly became this word of mouth sensation. And people who I trust, you know how that goes. You have people whose opinions you trust online. And generally, if they like something, you think to yourself, well, I might like this too. And it's kind of sad that I didn't trust my husband's opinion enough. You know, we don't always like the same things, though. But it kind of just became this thing where enough people started talking about it. And we had this trial period with Apple TV. And I sat down and I watched the first episode. I loved it so much that I think I binged it in a couple days.
So I just kind of gave a very brief outline about the show, but tell us a little bit more about the premise of the show and who would be interested in watching it. Because like you said, it's gotten a lot of buzz, and it's actually at this point now won awards, acting awards, and all kinds of different other industry awards for its writing and also for its star, Jason Sudeikis. So tell us a little bit more about who would even want to watch it if they're like us and don't really know anything like the character about, you know, British football.
So this is a show, and I do want to say just a little content warning that it is a TVMA, so for mature audiences shows. I'm always sensitive to that whenever I recommend something, because it's not exactly a show that you want to sit down with the whole family, unless of course maybe your kids are older teenagers and you're comfortable with them watching certain things. But it does have pretty strong language and some sexualized content in it. But this is a show that appeals to anybody who likes the sort of comedy that has deep meaning to it. So it's a show where it's not really about the premise of the show. It's a sports show, but like you, Melanie, I'm not really into sports shows. It's a show, you've got this Premier League soccer, but if you don't know anything about Premier League soccer, it's okay because the main character of the show, it's a real fish out of water show. He doesn't know anything about Premier League soccer either. And so that's where the comedy of the show comes from, is laughing along with Ted Lasso, who is totally uncomfortable, you know, taken from America to England. And it's not just the fact that he's going to coach Premier League soccer and doesn't know anything about it, which gives us a lot of great laughs in the show. But it's also the fact that he is a Southerner who doesn't know anything about English culture itself. And so he really finds himself in a lot of pretty hilarious situations, takes it all with good humor. And so if you enjoy laughing at sort of fish out of water comedies, but also the heart of the show is so much more. And so sometimes I had to remind myself that it was a comedy and that it was funny because it was so heartwarming as well. So if you're really looking for something to encourage you and you enjoy a good, maybe it's best categorized as a dramedy, something that makes you feel good and encourages you while also having some laughs, and you don't even like sports, that's okay. This is really the sort of show for you.
Yes, I would say the same thing that you did, is that I'm really kind of in a way bummed that there is so much sexual content, and it doesn't show things, but it's very graphic in its explanations, just the language, because I do think that there's so many aspects of this show that would be good for older kids. But, you know, again, there's a lot of, you know, F word and that kind of thing. And the you know, crass sexuality is what I would say.
Yes.
And so that's too bad to me, because it's interesting. I really want, you know, to find out what you think about this character, because he is unique to me. I think at first my impression of it without watching it, it was just, oh, it's going to be one, like, you're going to cringe at this person, like this American who's just really doesn't, so clueless. Like, you kind of think of, oh, the American in Paris that's loud wearing the cowboy hat type of, you know, caricature.
Yeah.
But the thing is even though he has that naivete about him, it's really endearing. So what do you think distinguishes him from other male protagonists in similar kinds of comedies? And then what about this character really inspired you to want to dig in and write an article about him?
Ted Lasso, you know, what I ended up writing about was this idea that he celebrates the fruits of the spirit. And that really took me by surprise as I was watching the show. And that's what really made me want to dig in and write about him. He has a gentleness that is very distinct and very different than other male leads in similar types of comedies or dramedies, as we're saying. He is someone who, and I was thinking about this as I was preparing to come on this podcast, he kind of arrives on the scene in the show fully formed, which is unique. You know, this isn't really a show about the transformation of Ted Lasso. Oftentimes you'll have characters who, you know, the main character of the show goes through some sort of transformation over the course of the series run. But Ted arrives and he is who he is. He is someone who embodies true kindness, true gentleness. He has a love for everyone around him. And I'm not saying that he didn't go through trials, because I think the show would be really boring if he didn't go through trials. He has trials, and I think we'll get into talking about that later. His character is kind of soft, and we don't see a lot of heroes or male protagonists in particular who are soft men. And softness doesn't mean that he's a wimp. Certainly not. You know, he's a sports coach, but he has this idea that everybody is important, and he loves everybody. And he treats everybody with this sort of loving kindness. And his character changes everybody who touches him. And that is really unique. And as I watched that, I kind of thought to myself, here's a character who is living out the fruits of the spirit. And we really see how that touches and transforms the world around him, rather than him being the character who is transformed. So I thought that was really unique and really worth writing about, since I'm a writer, write about pop culture. And I really thought to myself too, this is why people love this show so much. This is why TED is resonating with people, especially in the year that was 2020.
I think that the other thing that I find unique about it is it shows goodness. And I think it's really hard to show goodness in visual art, like film and television. Oh, yeah. Well, in other words, sometimes it becomes trite or too neat and tidy, happily ever after. But this mm-hmm. shows goodness over a period of time. And maybe that's why it helps that it's in a TV series, not a movie. It's not so much this redemption arc for him, which usually happens to main characters. It's just other people have redemption arcs around him, which I find really fascinating. And again, his goodness isn't in kind of a clueless way. It's just that he honestly, sincerely tries to take any situation, even when people are making fun of him, and turn it in a way that he tries to encourage the other person, which is really interesting. There's really no guile in him, you know?
No,
and
exactly.
I found that fascinating.
Yes, the goodness of Ted Lasso is not fake. And like you said, it there's no pretense. It's truly like objective too. He's just this ray of sunshine that comes in and illuminates the shadows. It's fantastic. And he's not like a Pollyanna, I think is something I say in my article. There's nothing kind of wishful thinking about him. He brings out the goodness in other people.
You're listening to episode 241 of the Postmodern Realities podcast, brought to you by the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. Today's guest is KB Hoyle, who has written a print article in our Postmodern Realities column in volume 44, number 1 of the print issue of the Christian Research Journal. Her article is called Wayward Ted, Celebrating the Fruit of the Spirit in Ted Lasso. You can read her article when you subscribe to our journal. If you're not already a subscriber, at equip.org, and it is $33.54 a subscription. Well, this time I would like to ask you, in addition to please giving us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, that really would help us out, especially if you do a short written review, but a starred review is wonderful as well, is to think about partnering with us in the month of June, since it's the end of our fiscal year. And every time during the year around this time, we do kind of a focus on becoming a partner with us by donating to the Christian Research Institute. And when you do that, you help the Christian Research Journal meet its budget. And as part of the budget, we do have writers that we pay, like KB Hoyle and many others that you hear featured on this podcast. And it allows us to continue to bring you this podcast, as well as to continue on with the mission of the Christian Research Journal, where we bring you in-depth articles on apologetics, discernment issues, ethics, and also Christian living, and helping you to draw closer to Christ in your relationship with Him. So please do consider going to equip.org and hitting that donate button and becoming a partner specifically for the outreach of the Christian Research Journal. And thank you so much for your consideration. Well, you're just noting that Ted Lasso debuted last year in 2020, which we all know was a huge worldwide event for COVID-19, which caused a lot of people and countries and cities to go in lockdown, where people were spending a lot of time basically at home, not able to go anywhere. And so there was probably a lot of streaming of various shows going on. So why do you think, 2020 was the perfect year for this kind of show, or for Ted Lasso in particular, to debut?
I think there's the obvious. First of all, that there were a lot of depressed people. I was one of them. I think the trials and challenges that COVID-19 brought into our lives, whether it was being shut up at home, away from people that we would normally be seeing, economic devastation, job losses, loss of life, obviously. I just think people were going through a really hard time looking for inspiration and encouragement and hope. And works of art, shows, stories, anything that can lift people up and encourage them to look up rather than to keep looking down, as it were, is, and to bring us out of, degrees of depression. These sorts of things are good things. And Ted Lasso was one of those shows for people. So it just, it made people happy. And I heard that over and over again. And obviously it is, it has limitations because it is just a television show. So, you know, it has its natural limitations there in that it's going to be a temporary happiness, but it did act on people in a certain way. So that's the first kind of obvious surface response. But I think that Ted Lasso did more than that too. Through the character of Ted Lasso, he, as a main character, he showed that he kind of gave us the antithesis of what a lot of people were getting in politics and things like that, where we were in this political season where winning was everything. Being a, you know, greatness is being defined as this sort of, you have to win, you have to be a big man, and truth can be whatever we want it to be. Winning was this sort of ultimate morality, was a message that people were getting constantly. We have to gain power, we have to maintain power. You know, obviously it was an election season, and this was, there was a lot of this sort of message out on social media. There was a lot of confusion. A lot of Christians were kind of buying into this. Ted Lasso was a sort of character who, as a man, and I do think this is important that it's a male character, because manliness is so often kind of portrayed in media and stories as, you know, the having this bravado and being, you have to be big and strong and great to be a great man. Ted Lasso kind of rejected all that. He said, winning is not the ultimate morality. The person is more important. We have to love and see the person. In that sense, I don't know if this is a bit of a stretch, but to me, Ted Lasso is a pro-life show. It's not about, you know, this message of, it's not about winning the game, whatever the game itself is that you're playing, if the game is a metaphor for life, but it's about each individual life being important.
One thing I wonder sometimes is, why do people rewatch television shows or episodes, favorite episodes? I just think, why would they even do that? But I have to admit, for the first time in my life, I went back and watched a scene in Ted Lasso, I think two or three times. And I don't want to give too many spoilers, although whenever we have a TV series review, I always say that we do have spoilers. And it's this scene in a bar kind of late in the series. It's almost at the end, where he's in a kind of a duel contest playing darts with another character that's kind of portrayed as one of the evil characters in this show. And the thing that he talks about, this Walt Whitman quote, which I'd like to look up. I don't know if that's truly a Walt Whitman quote, if they made that up, but he gives this quote of, you know, it's good to be curious, not judgmental. And I thought that was really, you know, that could be one of those, you know, cheesy posters where you know, see kittens on them or something, but it actually made me think in the context of how they wrote that scene. And I went back a few times, and it wasn't because it was heartwarming, but it was really thoughtful. Like, and you just mentioned, we've been in a political season, and not just politics, but in our country in general. Yeah. We are a little bit more divided now over many subjects. It doesn't have to be political at all. It could be school choice. It could be, right, you know, anything. It could be our sports teams, or, you know, whatever we like to do. That, you know, somebody else might do something different than us. And so, you know, I liked that quote, and it made me think about, what is it like? Because that's what Ted was really trying to do. And I realized that, because it's late in the series, that all these other times when he was asking someone, then they were trying to be dismissive of him. It wasn't that he was trying to be sarcastic back to them. He really wanted to know, well, tell me a little bit about this. So why is this, you know? And then just people are looking at him like, you're so weird. But I think he was honestly trying to be curious about other people. And so I looked at that, you know, a couple of times, because I just thought that was just a wonderful scene. The title of your article specifically says Wayward Ted. You call Ted wayward. So what do you mean by wayward? I'm really curious, because when I read that, I'm like, oh, I don't know that I think of Ted Lasso as the character's wayward. What were you trying to communicate with by using that word?
Right. Well, and obviously I can't take credit for coining that. That comes from the show itself. So part of the story, again, we're going to try and avoid too many spoilers, because if anybody is listening to this who has not watched, of course, I want you to go and watch if you're comfortable with the content, of course. But Ted, when Ted gets to over across the pond to England, he has been hired by this woman whose name is Rebecca, and she's the owner of the team. The team is called AFC Richmond, but she is embroiled in this kind of revenge plot, this revenge scheme with her ex-husband, who is her ex because he was cheating on her. She's incredibly bitter, and the only way that she has to get back at her ex-husband is to tank the team, AFC Richmond. So the only way that she has any control here is control to hurt her ex-husband, I guess is what I'm trying to say, is to take this football league, this team that she still co-owns with him, to put it in the ground, as it were, because her ex-husband loves AFC Richmond. Okay, so that's where the conflict, the surface conflict of the show comes from. And so that's why, you know, because if you're asking yourself, well, why would anybody in their right mind hire an American football coach to come and coach, you know, a Premier League soccer team? That's how this all comes about. So anyhow, Rebecca, when Ted arrives, she does everything in her power to get Ted to fail, even as she starts to, you know, love him as well. Not love in a romantic sense, but, you know, love him as he loves people as well. And, you know, kind of friendship love. And one of the things that she does is she hires a journalist to write a hatchet piece on him, because everybody knows that the British tabloids are just, they're vicious. So this journalist follows Ted around and spends the day with him, because Ted is who he is. So Ted just invites him to have, you know, conversations and to spend the day with him. And the journalist finds that he absolutely cannot write a true hatchet piece on Ted, because Ted is a really great guy, actually. But the journalist writes this piece and is the one who calls him Wayward Ted. And it basically talks about how Ted is, yeah, going to be a terrible soccer coach, but is actually a really, really wonderful man, because Ted is someone, and here's a quote from the piece: in an industry that celebrates ego, Ted reigns his in. To me, it was so interesting. That was a long setup here just to kind of explain that. But to me, it's so interesting that, you know, this journalist in this show uses that description to call Ted wayward. You know, he recognizes that Ted is not like everybody else, that he does not let his ego rule him, which is what is the norm in, you know, obviously the Premier League, but we could say the sports world in general. And maybe they're even making a greater statement about the men in general. I'm not sure, but it's something to ponder. And so that's why I decided to put that as the header of my article, because I think it's saying something about how it is wayward to live according to the fruits of the Spirit. And I think that that's what Jesus was getting at too, when he preached the Sermon on the Mount. And, you know, and when Jesus says things like, you know, you have heard it said, but I say, Jesus is trying to tell us, I'm calling you to live wayward to the rest of the world.
You just mentioned that, you know, Ted reins his ego in. You also write in your article, ego and virtue make poor bedfellows. What did you mean by that?
Yeah, this was one of those things where I kind of felt like I could have written a whole other side article just on this concept. Because virtue, okay, so this term has gone through some evolution over the course of time. We understand virtue, you know, to mean, I mean, most people, when you say the word virtue, we understand it to mean things like the fruits of the Spirit, right? You know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But it hasn't always meant that throughout the course of history. Now, it did, you know, we should be virtuous, and that's obviously what, when you read the Bible, virtues, we are understanding it correctly fruits of the spirit. And ego and virtue are poor bedfellows when you understand it as in that sense. But these days, I think a lot of people, especially in worlds like the sports world or in the entertainment industry sometimes, or in politics, any place where we're told, I think this is a very distinctly American thing too, or maybe I should just say kind of a Western thing, any place where you have to fight to succeed, we're looking at more of a Renaissance concept of virtue or a Roman concept. Well, Renaissance concept of virtue is closer to the Roman concept of virtue, which is this virtue or virtu, if you go with the classical, this V-I-R-T-U with an apostrophe over the U, this idea of prowess. And so for a period of time, and Machiavelli writes about this in The Prince, virtue was more commonly understood as prowess, this manliness. And this is how the Romans took it as well. And this was an idea that to be virtuous meant to be a man, to have prowess. I was thinking about this as I was watching Ted Lasso, because this is the sort of stuff I think about when I watch television shows. And I was thinking, gosh, you know, on the football field, what are our young athletes taught? Go out there, have prowess. That's how you do right by your team. That's virtuous, in quotation marks, on the sports field. And the idea in politics, or to succeed in the entertainment industry or something like that, to be great is to have prowess. That's a misunderstanding of what virtue is. And I think that we need to recapture virtue as the fruits of the spirit. And I love to see a show like Ted Lasso come along, where we have a sports, I think this is so important that this is sports, where we have a sports coach who is teaching his athletes that virtue is not prowess, that virtue is in fact love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Because I don't think that that is what's usually taught on the sports field. It is totally at odds with ego, but ego is comfortable with prowess. Ted is he's doing things differently than I think our young athletes are usually taught, than I think we get out of Washington or even Hollywood, and I love to see it.
So in your review, you point out that Ted is a Southerner. You mentioned that at the beginning of this interview. You also note that it's important for this character to be smart. And now he might not know that much about this particular game, you know, soccer at a professional level, but he doesn't come across as dim-witted. Right. So why do you think it's important that he does, you know, isn't dim-witted, portrayed as the simpleton? Because he's not portrayed as a simpleton, even though he is a simple person, if that makes any sense.
Right. This was just kind of an aside thought that I had that I included when I was writing on this, because I think it's really important. The writers, I think, knew their audience. Sports, now we lived in the South for 14 years, although we're not Southerners. Sports are huge in the South, especially football. And Southerners are very proud. And I don't say that in a bad way, of course. But they have a lot of pride, and especially a lot of pride in their sports and whatnot. And the characterization, I don't think it's a huge surprise if I say that the characterization of Southerners being stupid because they talk slow is a characterization that exists. And I think that the country, the rifts we're seeing in the country have only made that characterization more extreme. It's a false characterization, of course, and it's unkind. And it's easy and lazy writing when people write Southerners that way. So I think it's important that they made the character of Ted Lasso a Southerner who is smart and kind, because it's important for Southerners to be portrayed that way in entertainment. It's just an important representation on the screen, and it's something that will help endear the audience and the intended audience to the show as well, because this show has a lot to say also, particularly to a Southern audience, about things that I've also been talking about having to do with virtues that we need on the field and rejection of prowess and rejection of ego, things of that sort.
You kind of mused over this podcast about different, you know, how Ted, the character, it's important that he be a man, and also just like different ways in which manliness is portrayed in this character compared to what we might see typically when you talk about the sports world, like you noted about the idea of winning and always being out to win. And that, you know, just that's how that's so prevalent among just how sports figures in general are portrayed, and just maybe some of the ethos that they hold to as they, you know, try to achieve greatness in sports, whatever that might be. And so why do you think that Ted's manliness is countercultural to that kind of, you know, win at any cost type of portrayal of, you know, success for men?
I just don't think, and especially, you know, I'm a mother, I'm raising four boys. I don't think that men are taught that it's okay to lose. I think that, and again, especially because we lived in the South for 14 years, and I'm not saying that this doesn't exist in the North. I think it's kind of an American concept entirely, especially, I guess I should say, but kind of this bootstrapism that we have in America, this idea that to succeed at life, you have to win. And if you're going to be a good provider, you have to be a winner. And manliness is tied up with this, all of this, this bravado, this being a winner. That's how you succeed. And if you don't do these things, then you are not really a man. And it's just this whole culture of manhood that we see. And it's not, I don't think men and boys, I think we're seeing a cultural shift. I think we're seeing more allowances toward being, soft, men, and softer and more kindness and gentleness, but I don't think we're quite there yet, but we're getting there. But Ted being in the sports world, where we really don't see it being allowed very much. Because how are you soft on the field and then still encouraged to go and play? And because what we're not saying is that you have to go and be a wimp. And I think when men hear softness, they think wimp. And Ted embodies this character who is, like you said that before, he's not a wimp. You know, he's tough, he's strong, but having the fruits of the spirit does not mean that you go out and you can't kick a ball, you know, or you can't be physically strong. It has to do with how you treat people, and that makes all the difference. And I don't think that as a culture, we've been able to differentiate that and been able to teach our men and boys in particular how to do both things, how to have soft, and again, not wimpy soft, gentle characters, while also allowing them to be physically strong. So in that sense, I think Ted is such a good example of this, and he is a very countercultural character.
Now, this part is a spoiler, so if someone doesn't like to encounter any spoilers before they watch something, you know, stop this and come back to the podcast after. But in the show, Ted is having marital problems, and he does ultimately go through a divorce with his wife, who remains in America while he is in England. And so some Christians that have watched the show have had some issues with this because of this divorce storyline. And not just that, but Ted meets up with one of Rebecca's friends and has like a one-night stand with her right after he has signed these divorce papers. So does this particular, it's not a huge part of the plot, but this particular subplot, especially the, you know, one-night stand where he meets this friend of Rebecca's, does that contradict this compassionate character or this character that you're saying has fruits of the spirit? What are your thoughts about, you know, this particular subplot of the series?
You know, when I watched it, obviously I was disappointed because, you know, you grow to love a character and you're cheering for this character and then they do something bad or something bad happens to them and then they do something bad, which is really the case with Ted. Is you knew he was having marital problems from, you know, almost the beginning of the series of the season, and then you have hopes that it will end a certain way, and then it doesn't, and then he has this one night stand. To me, it did not ruin his character or change my mind about who he was as a person or the virtues of the show, because I think if Ted was 100% like nothing bad ever happened with him or to him, then he would have become a Pollyanna. And I think his character would have been a little bit unbelievable. Like, wow, this guy it's just roses all around him. Everything is right for him. I think the show would have turned into a bit of The Power of Positive Thinking. You know, if you just wish hard enough and believe hard enough, then everything in your life will turn out great. And I don't think that I would have liked the show as much in the end. Rather, I think that the fact that Ted could not hold his marriage together, despite the fact that he desperately wanted to, and I think that is really important. He did not wish for his wife to leave him. He allowed her to leave because that's what she wanted. And then he had a dark night of the soul, as it were, and slept with another woman. But there was nothing about the way that they portrayed all of that in the show that made it seem like, wow, this was a really great thing that happened to Ted. Look how free he is now. You know, I never got the impression that they portrayed it as being a really good thing that had happened to him. He needed to go through some struggles and trials because he's a real person, and that's what happens to real people. I thought it was actually important characterization for him. I also thought it was important because it gave Ted an opportunity to, it gave the audience an opportunity to see how Ted responds to trials. Whereas before, you know, people had been mean to him, you know, people had called him names, and he had the trials of, okay, being an American in England. Well, okay. I mean, I've been an American in England. It's not really that difficult, but this was a real trial. These were not fish out of water trials. This was, his marriage fell apart and then he slept with someone he barely knew. And we got to see him actually lose his temper, which he hadn't done, and how he would, and he treated some people kind of badly, which he hadn't done before. And then we got to see how he responded to that afterwards, how he repented and asked forgiveness from people. It was important. It was an important part of Ted's story. And it actually, in the end, reaffirmed the way, the sort of person that he was. So I don't really accept that criticism as being criticism that invalidated what the story was and how important the story is.
And one thing that I thought was really interesting in that whole storyline is one thing he notes when he's talking about his divorce, I don't remember where, but, or just the problems that he's having in his relationship with his wife, was that, you know, they had been through marital counseling. And one of the things that was really getting on her nerves was that Ted was positive all the time. And she just didn't feel like life is that positive. Why can you be positive all the time? And so you kind of see him ruminating on just, you know, the very aspects of what makes the character and why the show is so unique in that way. Just, you know, how do you respond to criticism that someone says, well, you're just too positive and no one should be like that, you know? Yeah. So I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah.
So at the beginning of your article and also at the end, you say, as you've said in this podcast, that Ted Lasso is really a great story because it's not particularly about, you know, soccer, aka football in Europe, but it's about the show itself. It's about the character. So why do you think that Ted Lasso is a great show and that a lot of people should watch it?
It is a show about the people. It's a show that says person is more important than the outcome of the game. To me, you know, sports are often used as a metaphor for life. And, you know, I think that's something that people are often taught when they're playing sports. And if the person is more important than the outcome of the game, that's what kind of Ted Lasso is all about. He values every single person who comes into his life, from the person who drove him, you know, to the stadium from the airport, to the owner of the team. And that's what makes the show really worth watching, is the way in which people are valued. And so it is really a great show that is worth watching if you want to see a show that really values people and shows you how people can and should be valued. It's a show that I felt like, wow, I learned something from this, and I'm a little bit convicted about how I treat people in my own life.
Yeah, I did think that, like I was telling you about that scene that really I connected to. I mean, it did make me think, you know, not every time that you watch, you know, television series that you do think, okay, what is this character like and what am I like? You know, and I just thought about how encouraging of a person that he was genuinely, even to people who were, you know, ridiculing him. So it did cause me to think about that, just like you were thinking about it yourself as it applies to you. Well, we're recording this interview, but right before the second season starts streaming, I think it's starting at the end of July. And do you have any, you know, concerns about what they're going to do or any predictions? The only thing that I saw about it online was they say that they compared this season to like Empire Strikes Back in the Star Wars canon, new canon, I guess. And I don't even know what that means. Like,
I know,
people come over, you know, end up, or you get more exposition about, you know, Ted's roots, or I don't know what it really means. So what do you think is going to come up in this next season, and what do you hope for in it?
You know, every time I really, really, really like the first season of a show, it makes me really, really nervous for the second season, because I feel like they captured lightning in a bottle. So I'm just kind of holding my breath, and I'm going to wait and see. On the one hand, I hope that they don't mess it up. You know, I hope that they, keep Ted Lasso's character exactly as it is, and, that they don't feel that the show needs him to be edgier or, anything like that, because typically these sorts of things, they get kind of messed up if the producers say, we need more drama, you know. But no, I tend to, you know, I say that, but then I kind of go, I feel like they understand that, though, because there were a number of ways that the first season could have been messed up, and they avoided that. And I think really it boils down to the fact that this is a character that Jason Sudeikis created a long time ago. Although the character, if you go back to the NBC, old NBC promotional videos, the character was a little bit different back in those times. And then he softened Ted Lasso's character for the show a bit. So if the only thing you've ever watched is the old Saturday Night Live promotional videos that he did for NBC, don't base your assessment on Ted Lasso on those videos, because the character is a little bit different in the show. But I feel like, Jason Sudeikis probably has a handle on who Ted Lasso is. And I'm really hoping that they just stay the line and stay true to the character. I wonder if they're going to make him have any sort of romantic relationship with Rebecca, if we're getting the plot discussions. I'm just not sure. Or if I kind of hope they just keep the two of them being really good friends, because I think that we need more depictions of healthy friendships between men and women on the television screen. So, and, which is what they have in the first season. So we'll see. I'm not sure, but I'm hopeful and a little afraid.
Well, finally, I have some fun rapid-fire questions for KB. So, KB, what's your favorite meal?
Oh, my favorite meal. Oh, well, once upon a time, I would have said pizza, but now I'm lactose intolerant. So, I will, you know, I'll say cheeseless pizza.
And what would you say that you are, an introvert or extrovert?
I am an introvert.
Early bird or night owl?
Oh, night owl.
I think you already answered this for us, but I'll ask you, one episode per week or binge watch?
Oh, that's a hard one. Well, I binge watch some things. No, I'll say binge watch. Let's be honest, I'm a binge watcher.
So are you highly organized or spontaneous and glow with the flow?
Spontaneous.
Well, thanks, KB, for being a guest on the Postmodern Realities podcast.
Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to episode 241 of the Postmodern Realities podcast, brought to you by the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. Today's guest was KB Hoyle, who has written a print article for our Postmodern Realities column in volume 44, number 1, issue of the Christian Research Journal, print edition. Her article is called Wayward Ted, Celebrating the Fruit of the Spirit in Ted Lasso. You can read her article if you subscribe to the Christian Research Journal at equip.org.